Good evening to each one of you. It's time, or at least close to time, to start, and let's open our songbooks to number 170. Possible, let's kneel. Our Heavenly Father, as we have gathered again here this day to worship Thee and to hear the spoken word from one who has prepared himself, I pray that You would place upon his heart those things which we need to hear, and that You would place those words in his mouth as well. And for those who have been unable to attend this evening because of illness and various other reasons, I pray, Lord, that You would touch them also, that those afflictions be rebuked, and that those who lack that desire would be stirred up within to remember the things that they have learned in their youth. But ask also that You bless those that are going to be administered to this evening, that Your Spirit attend there as well, to raise them up and make them whole and well. I ask these favors, giving You the honor and the praise and the glory, and I ask it in Christ's name, amen. I apologize to you for having to sit and listen to me sing there a moment ago. I thought I turned it off and said I pushed the button the wrong way. You turned it off. Well, thank all of you for helping me out here. And we
did.
No, that wasn't happening. We have a couple of administrations to take care of right now. I'm going to ask Ken if you'd help me with that. Melanie? Our second song is number 149. And once again, when you find your places, let's stand.
Thank you.
that Wednesday you have a business meeting at 7 o'clock, and I know most of you probably know him far better than I do. My first recollections of Ken was that Canadian. And became friends with him, and quite honestly, I can't remember how that all transpired. But I know that that friendship has grown, that love, and that concern, and that joy that I have gotten from being a friend to him. As being friends to one another, you know, we can learn lessons from one another. And I have come this night praying and hoping and prepared to learn something from him that the Lord has placed upon his heart. Brother Ken.
Thank you, Jim. I was reminded this morning of something Brother Bob Hedrick said one time. You know, there are certain members of the priesthood who have neatly typed notes, you know. They come up here and it's all in a book and neatly typed. I can think of three or four brothers that come up here with their notes. And then Bob held up a little piece of paper and said, "This is my notes, you know, sideways and stuff." And what? I tried to type some notes this morning and some last week. And every one of my pages, I've got scribbles on them. So I hope I can follow my revisions. The germ of this sermon came to me last week during morning service. During the morning service, and the Lord has kind of added, excuse me, some thoughts through the week. Even this morning as our brother was preaching, other thoughts and other scriptures came to my mind. And even during our song service this evening, the Lord touched my heart. So I hope that the Lord puts it all together for us tonight. Song we sang this morning, number 193. And sometimes when we sing songs, they open my mind to some thoughts. And I really hope that when we sing these songs that we look at the words. We don't just sing them, but we look at them. Because there's meaning in these songs. Part of what we sang this morning was, "Take away our love of sinning. Set our hearts at liberty." Take away our love of sinning. A prayer. A prayer that we should be offering. Take away our love of sinning and set our hearts at liberty. Free. Set our hearts free from the cares and the concerns of this world. I'm going to make a general statement about the church. And I'm not going to comment on it. It's just a general statement. And it's really two extremes. I've heard people say that, you know, we don't have the gifts anymore. We don't have the miracles. We're in spiritual trouble. I think you've all heard that. And at the other end of the equation, you know, we have righteous people. We're striving. We're doing well. We are Christ's church. And we're head and shoulders above the world. So whichever view you hold, probably somewhere in the middle, I'd like to ask a question. If I do better, will it make a difference in the church? Personally, on a personal level, and I'd like to speak on a personal level tonight if I can. If I do better, will it make a difference? You know, sometimes we feel like we get lost in the crowd. You know, we're just a face out in the congregation. My life doesn't matter. But does it? Does it matter? Does my life make a difference? If I do better, will it make a difference in the spirituality as a whole of the church? And this is really not what my sermon's about, but the song that our sister Betty picked to open the service tonight really kind of springboard. It's really a springboard. I'd like to read this hymn that we sang. Number 170, come, let us anew our journey pursue. You know, have we wavered some? Have we gone astray? Come, let us anew our journey pursue. Let us get back on that straight and narrow if we've wandered. Roll round with the year and never stand still till the Master appear. That's when we become in a dangerous situation, when we stand still spiritually. When we're not striving to go ahead, but satisfied with where we are, satisfied with our righteousness perhaps, satisfied with what we're doing, we can't stand still. His adorable will, let us gladly fulfill. Pretty self-explanatory as we read this. And our talents improve by the patience of hope and the labor of love. And it repeats it. Our life is a dream. Our time is a stream. Isn't it? Time is fleeting. You know, we can't get the past minute by back. It's gone. It glides swiftly away. And the fugitive moment refuses to stay. You know, time goes so quickly. If we've wasted our time, we can never get it back. If we've wandered away from the path that God has given us, we can never get it back. That moment is gone. We should use each moment that we have to follow God's commandments, to walk in His footsteps. The arrow is flown. Our brother this morning gave a good illustration of that. The arrow is flown. The moment is gone. The millennial year rushes on to our view. You know, the Lord is soon, that millennial time is soon going to be upon us. Are we ready? Are we ready? And eternity's here. Eternity will soon be here. Too late for us to make a decision. Too late for us to make a choice. When the Lord appears, we've already been judged. We've been judged by our actions every day, every moment of our life. Oh, that each in the day of His coming may say, I have fought my way through. One of our brothers recently made the statement, we are at war. We are at war. Not a physical war. Not a war like we're fighting in Iraq or somewhere else. But we are in a spiritual war. And don't make any mistake about it. It is a war. Satan has unleashed his army. Just like the U.S. troops when they went to Iraq, they concentrated on finding Saddam. They wanted the center of power. They wanted to topple the government. That's Satan's desire. That's his focus, is to topple the center of power of Christ's work here on earth, and that's the Church of Christ. That's His desire. He's going after the headquarters. He's going after the head. We're at war, and we have to fight. We have to fight our way through. I have finished the work thou didst give me to do. Oh, that each from his Lord may receive the glad word, well and faithfully done, enter into my joy and sit down on my throne. Have we fulfilled His will? Have we finished the work that He's given us to do? Are we continuing to fight the fight? Hebrews chapter 2 in the first verse. Excuse me. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Earnest. We have to give earnest heed. Strong says it's abundant to excess. Much more frequently. Standard Dictionary says it's deep sincerity, seriousness of an important nature. Earnest, it's an earnest thing. It's something that's important. Give earnest heed to the things which we have heard. What have we heard? We've heard the things of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We've heard how to live. We've heard the plan of salvation. We've heard what we must do on a daily basis. But we have to be earnest in our heeding, lest at any time we let them slip for fear that at any time they may slip out of our grasp. We may forget. We may walk in a forbidden path. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. Paul referring back into the Old Testament when the angels, that word was spoken first by the angels, was steadfast, was firm, was sure, was stable. That same word that we've received in the Scriptures today is firm and sure and stable. It's steadfast. But when they transgressed, when the children of Israel, when they transgressed, they received their just reward. Payment of wages. A just reward. They received a payment of wages for the work that they did. They were justly compensated. They received the wages of their disobedience. Many did not enter the promised land. Moses, being disobedient, was not able to enter. We will receive our just reward. We can be sure of that. Verse 3, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him? If we neglect these words that we've heard, this great plan of salvation, which was first spoken by the Lord, He gave it to us, and then by them that heard Him. If we neglect, if we make light of it, if we're negligent, if we treat it with no regard, if we're careless, casual, if we don't care, if we neglect it, if we treat it as nothing, how shall we escape if we neglect the gospel of salvation? We have the added witness of Paul and Peter, Nephi, Alma, many, many ancient brothers. Verse 4, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to His own will. And God has bore witness to each and every one of us. By signs, there's not one of us that hasn't witnessed, has not experienced the gift of the Holy Ghost, one of the gifts, miracles. We've heard about them. Some of us have seen them firsthand. How can we deny what we have? God has witnessed the truth by signs and wonders. I suppose you all remember the sermon about the mason jar? Yeah. It shattered. I mean, it shattered. It wasn't on purpose. It didn't shatter on purpose, but it shattered because of the way that it was treated. It was treated casually, of no worth. Sometimes our spiritual life is shattered because we've treated it as no worth. Put it on the back burner, have let other things enter in and lead us astray. Perhaps we neglect the gospel. Perhaps we allow Satan to enter in and destroy our peace and our comfort. I was watching a program on television recently, and one of the actors was pushed into quicksand. You know, quicksand, the more you struggle, the deeper you get, and you're caught. You cannot escape. The only way this person could escape was they had to climb out on a branch and reach down and pull them out. Don't we sometimes find ourselves in spiritual quicksand? Struggling, struggling with our spiritual lives, struggling to improve ourselves, but getting deeper and deeper. And it's because sometimes we've neglected the truths of the gospel. And it's human nature. It's human nature. I think Don mentioned it in his last sermon, to do it our way. You know, it's human nature to try and do it our way instead of letting God. And I don't know if you've probably seen that little saying, says, let go and let God. You know, we have to let go of our own selves, our own pride, our own way of doing things, and let God take care of it. Because if we struggle and struggle and struggle, sometimes we sink deeper and deeper and deeper. Only when we reach to our Lord can we escape. You know, James said, draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you. Resist the devil, and he will flee. How easy it is for Satan to take and bind us with those cords, lead us to destruction. He has many tools. He has an arsenal. He just doesn't have a bow and arrow or a rifle. He has an arsenal. Now, when the U.S. forces went to Iraq, you know, we just overwhelmed them. We overwhelmed them with superior numbers, superior firepower, technology. It really wasn't much of a contest. Satan has that arsenal. He has those things at his disposal. And if we don't have equal or better, we'll be destroyed. If we do it on our own, if we try to do it on our own, we will be destroyed. But we have a great ally. One that is far more powerful than Satan, far greater weapons at his disposal. That's Jesus Christ. You know, this war, we don't see it. You know, for the most part, we don't see this war that's going on around us. You know, we get up in the morning, we say our prayers, we eat breakfast, we go to work, we go to school, we do whatever we're doing. And we really don't see this great warfare that's going on around us. Oh, we're tempted, we're led here and we're led there, and we may stumble, but we don't see the real battle. And that real battle is 24/7. Continuously, we don't see it, we don't feel it, but it's going on around us. And the only thing that's protecting us is the power of God. If it wasn't for God's protection around us, we'd be destroyed. We would be destroyed. We find ourselves in that spiritual quicksand because we've neglected the words of life. If we continue to ignore the gospel, if we continue to neglect it, we may not escape. We will not escape. Many tools. Anger, jealousy, envy, discouragement. No one cares about me. No one wants me around. My life is, you know, in the pits. My life is, you know, it's in the dumpster. God's angry with me. It's too late. You know, it's too late. I can't change. It's too late. And we go on and on and on. It's never too late. That's what Satan wants us to believe. He wants us to believe it's too late, that nobody cares. You know, I'm a terrible, horrible person. That's what he wants us to believe. But it's never too late with God. Never. It's each of us, our responsibilities to support our brothers and sisters, but it's each of our responsibilities also to resist Satan, to overcome him, to cease struggling on our own and not be caught in that spiritual quicksand. Oh, you know, there's not one of us that from time to time hasn't neglected this word. You know, we put it off. I don't have time. I'm too tired. You know, as our brother Jim pointed out this morning, we spend very, very little time actually studying and being in God's presence. In a place like this, you know, we very little bit of our time is actually spent in the Word of God. But the time is upon us to give earnest heed to the words and remove ourselves completely from this world and stand and be counted as God's people. Yeah, I don't. This song, the Battle Hymn of the Republic, was written back in 1852. 152 years ago, it was written. But you know, it says, "He has sounded forth the trumpet that shall never call retreat." Isn't that a true statement? The trumpet has been sounded. It will never retreat. God will never retreat. Perhaps for the final time, that trumpet today is sounding. He's sifting out the hearts of men before His judgment seat. True statement. He is sifting our hearts today. Oh, be swift, my soul, to answer Him. Be jubilant, my feet. Our God is marching on. Are we marching with Him? Are we beside Him? Are we following Him? The trumpet has sounded. The last days have been ushered in. Recently, my wife and I went to North Mountain. And those of you who have been there, you know, it's a pretty easy walk. It's not difficult. It's paved. It's, I think, what, 8/10 of a mile, and you climb maybe 600-700 feet. It's not really hard. But if you haven't done it before, you have to stop and you have to rest, and it takes quite a while. It does. You walk on a level ground and you think you're in pretty good shape to start going up that little hill, and it's a difference. It's a difference, you know. Well, several years ago when I first started doing this, I'm not going to tell you how bad I was, but over the months, I got where I could do it twice and cut my time probably by 8 minutes from when I first started, 8-10 minutes. And then because of work and had a couple minor physical things, my knees and my stuff, that I didn't do it very often for 6 or 7 months. And my wife and I went up there after Christmas. I could still walk to the top, but you know, it was a little more difficult. I was breathing a little harder than I was 6 months ago. And our spiritual lives are the same. You know, if we're doing it every day, if we're not neglecting that word, if we're living the gospel of Christ, and we're struggling and we're striving and we're active, we grow stronger. It becomes easier. But then we neglect it. We back off. And before we know it, you know, we've gained a few pounds. We're not as healthy. It takes us a little longer, and it's a little harder. But you know, the great thing is that I know that 2 or 3 weeks, I'll be back to where I was. You know, maybe not peak condition, but I'll be back where I can walk up, and it won't be that difficult, because it really doesn't take long once you do it. It's the same with our spiritual lives sometimes. When we turn it around, it's still a struggle. But God strengthens us daily. It becomes easier. And perhaps that's the danger of it. It becomes easy, so we become complacent and we back off. If the only place that I hiked was North Mountain all my life, it may get to the point where, yeah, it'd keep me in shape, but to grow stronger, I would have to go to Squaw Peak or on day hikes. I would have to do things that are more challenging. Same with our spiritual lives. Now, somebody told me one time they didn't want to step outside. It was uncomfortable. They had a comfort zone. They didn't like to step outside of that comfort zone. But if we're going to grow spiritually, we have to step outside our comfort zone. Do those things that are difficult. We have to do it. Matthew chapter 13. I'm going to begin at the 18th verse. This is the parable of the sower. Excuse me. Matthew 13, verse 18, "Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside." Didn't understand it. First person didn't understand it, couldn't comprehend it. It was of no worth to them. "But he that received the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word with anon, and anon with joy receives it." Stony place, a rocky place. This second person was, the seed fell on a stony place, a rocky place. Talking about our hearts. Sometimes our hearts are like rock. We're not humble. We're not humble enough to receive the word. Too proud to completely yield to God's leading. You know, we immediately received that word anon, immediately received it. Received at one. We love this word, but you know. Verse 21, though. "Yet has he not rooted himself, but dureth for a while, for when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended." Oh, it's too hard. It's requiring too much of me. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to yield. I'm not going to be humble. I'm not going to be that way. You know? Because of the hardness of our hearts, you know, we're offended. That's basically it. We're offended. We go away. "He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful." Thorns. Of course, a thorn is a sharp protrudence from a variety of plants and trees and shrubs. You know, we've all got pricked by rose thorn or some other thorn. Kind of symbolic of the darts of Satan. They prick us. Those things that he throws at us, the cares of life, riches, temptations, they choke the word. All these things choke the word out of us, and we become unfruitful. Unfruitful. "But he that receives seed into good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit, and bringeth forth some an hundredfold, some 60, some 30. This last group are the humble ones, willing to yield to the word of God, willing to do what's necessary to gain salvation. Willing to do what's right because it's right. Willing to yield to God because that's the right way to do it. Putting aside our pride, putting aside our own ambitions, putting aside those things that we care about sometimes. Willing to put out of our lives those things that offend. Willing to change, and it bears fruit. The word bears fruit. But we have things that we have to do. A tree. You plant a tree. You know, and if you just plant it and ignore it, what happens? Soon it's going to die, or the wind comes along and it'll uproot that tree because it wasn't deeply rooted, because it wasn't taken care of. But if we water it and fertilize it and trim it and prune away the extra branches and the things that would cause it to be choked, it thrives. Same with our life. If we water it, if we trim out those things that are offensive, those things that would retard our growth, then we become firmer. And those roots are deep because we're well grounded and well founded in the gospel of Christ. And then when the winds of life come along, the tree's not blown over. It's not blown over. Those roots will hold. Do we treat the gospel with the respect that it deserves? Do we treat our sanctuary with the respect that it deserves? have a pet peeve. I'm going to tell you about a pet peeve I have. And hopefully I don't offend anybody, but it's something that bothers me greatly. And sometimes, and that peeve is how we treat the sanctuary. Our attitude bothers me. And I know it bothers other people because I've talked to other people, and the same thing bothers other people. And it bothers me when people come and they spend an hour visiting with their neighbor. Why are they here? Don't hear it. They haven't heard a thing. They don't learn anything. You know, we come here, we should treat this with respect. Sacrament service. You know, thankfully, it doesn't happen very often, but sometimes I've come in here at 10 to 11 on a sacrament service, you would have thought you were at a football game. The noise and the racket and people visiting. I'm not saying not to visit, but let's approach the sacrament service with the reverence and the respect that it deserves. Let's give the one who stands behind this pulpit, who's imparting the Word of God, the respect. You know, when we visit one with another, then what I have to say is more important than what God has to say. And we're not learning. If we're visiting one with another and scribbling and doing all things, we're not learning, we're not listening. We're neglecting the Word of God. Not only that, I can't hear. People behind me whispering and talking, and sometimes they're not very quiet. And I'm competing, my ears are competing to hear, and I know some people move to the front for that very reason. So that's one of my pet peeves, but it's one of the things that I think it's offensive to God. I really do. I think it's offensive to our Savior to not be respectful. To not be respectful. Anyway, we need to treat all aspects of our life with respect. The sanctuary, this gospel, our marriage, our children, our jobs, whatever we do for the Lord needs to be treated with the respect that it's due. Hopefully, we're not living in a world of false security. I'm a good guy. Yeah, I don't do any of the things of the world. I'm a pretty good guy. I'm okay. When maybe I could be a little bit better. False security. Let's not fall into that false security. I'm a member of the Church of Christ. I'm a pretty decent guy. Everything's okay. Let's not fall into that. That's a little dangerous ground. Search deep. Search deep within our hearts and our minds. And the Lord has really impressed this on me recently, to search deep, to seek those things which offend God. Looking at things that, in a little different light perhaps, but looking deep within our hearts and our minds and seeking out those things that may be offensive to our Savior. Let us be obedient. That's how God refines us, is by obedience. You know, He refines. We grow spiritually by obedience. He refines us by being obedient, and by trials and by tribulations. And being obedient during those trials and those tribulations. Look ahead. One of the biggest tools that Satan has is causing us to look over our shoulders, to look into our past, to always remember those things that maybe we've done. Now, I'm going to ask a question. I'll make a show of hands. A hand, maybe. Is there anybody here who has not done something stupid? Not Mark. We've all, haven't we all? Haven't we all done something stupid? Something we said something or did something? Oh, I wish I could pull that back. Or, gosh, why did I do that? We've all done it. But Satan can make us look back and say, that was really... And we dwell on it. And pretty soon we're doubting ourselves, and then we're not looking ahead. We're looking in our past and not allowing God to take us and cleanse us, but we're allowing Satan to put up that smoke screen. To put up a smoke screen. To make us think that, you know, it's too late. He can put all sorts of thoughts. I'm not even going to tell you all the thoughts he can put, but let's not look behind. You know, we've done stupid things. We repent. And repentance is changing our lives. If we've changed our lives, if we've repented, we can go forward, because God's not going to bring it to our account. He's not going to do it. But Satan makes us look behind it. Those dumb things that we did, and they pop into our heads. You know, you're driving down the road, you remember something stupid you did 30 years ago. Well, some people won't because they're not 30 years old, but last week, last year, you know, we remember. Right? We know we don't forget. That's when we dwell on it that the danger comes. Just cast it out. Don't go there. Don't go there. But look ahead. Look ahead. If there's something in our life that we need to repent, that's what we do. We go and we repent, and God forgives us, and life goes on. But don't let the stupid things that we've done or said or things like that hold us back. Don't let it do it. God asks us to be a complete person. Complete. Not just partial, but complete. We had a wonderful sermon here a while ago about spiritual maturity, being that perfect Christian. That's all. It's spiritual maturity. It's not that we're sinless. It's that we're spiritually mature. Able to handle the trials and the problems of life. Able to handle the setbacks. Able to handle those times when we're down. We all have those days. We all have days when we're more susceptible to Satan than we are in others. We have those days. But when we're spiritually mature, we can handle them. When we're spiritually mature, we have more wisdom, we have more discernment, we have more righteousness. It's all hand in hand. So God asks us to be a complete Christian. Prepare for the future, you know. Be prepared for the future. Young people, be prepared. Be prepared to do the Lord's will. Be prepared. Mosiah chapter 11. I'm going to end with this scripture, I think. Mosiah chapter 11. And it's really talking... It's a familiar scripture. It's a familiar scripture... And I'm ending with this because if we've neglected the Word of God, if we've allowed our spiritual life to slide and to slip, if we've done that, now's the time to get it on track. Now's the time to start over again. As the song that we sang, let's do it anew. Let's begin anew. Let's strive. Let's be diligent. Let's not neglect so great a salvation, but give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard. And we can start new, we can start fresh when we do. In this one verse, verse 139 on page 284, "Yea, and as often as my people repent, will I forgive them their trespasses against me." Back up a verse. "And if he confess his sins before thee and me..." You know, sometimes we need to do that. If I've offended the church, I need to stand and confess. If it's between God and me, it's between God and me. But I have to confess. We have to confess our sins. We can't be forgiven. God knows our weaknesses. He knows our sins. And it's very easy. It's very easy to get up in the morning and kneel beside your bed or go to your office or whatever you have your prayer and say, God, forgive me. And finish your prayer. We get in that habit. But God knows our sin. He wants to say, God, forgive me for. Tell Him. Tell Him what your sin is. Be specific. God, I need help in overcoming this. I want to change. I want to walk that path of righteousness. I don't want to walk in this other path anymore. I don't want to succumb to that sin that's been troubling me and I've been struggling with. Because He knows we've been struggling. He knows that it's been a trouble to us. He wants us to tell Him. And He wants us to ask for that strength to overcome it. And He will give it to us. He will help us. So we need to confess. We need to confess. And it says, repenteth in the sincerity of his heart. Be sincere. Be humble. What did the Lord say when He first appeared to our ancient brothers and sisters? He said, there's only one sacrifice that is acceptable. A broken heart and a contrite spirit. That's all He's going to accept. We're deeply sorrowful for our sin. And we're willing to repent. And we want to repent. And we're in the depths of despair because of our sin. And then He'll lift us up. He will forgive us. It says, Him shall ye forgive. If somebody comes in the sincerity of their heart and confesses their sin and repents of it and asks for our forgiveness, we're bound to forgive. We're bound to forgive. We cannot not forgive. Him shall ye forgive, and I will forgive him also. You know, the Scripture says, if I'm not willing to forgive a brother or sister who stands in the sincerity of their heart and confesses their sin before me, and by the fruit of their labor are walking a new life, and if I don't forgive them, Scripture says I won't be forgiven at the judgment seat. And then it says, as often as my people repent, will I forgive them their trespasses against me. Don't let Satan hinder our spiritual growth. Don't let Satan whisper in our hearts and our minds and tell us it's too late. Don't let him come to us and say, God's angry, you're never getting his good graces. Don't let him do that to you. Don't let him make you think you're worthless. Don't let him make you think that you're not important. If I am a better person, will it make a difference in the church of Christ? You bet it will. If I'm a better person, just one of us is a better person to make a difference. If collectively we become better people, I don't even want to think of the difference that it could make. May God bless us as we strive to enter His kingdom. The trumpet has sounded. Sound it. The war is on. And God will never, ever sound retreat. You'll never hear that trumpeter blow retreat. God is marching on, and God will be the victor. It's our choice. Are we going to be marching with Him? Or are we going to be left behind? It's our choice. May God bless us. I pray that He will be with us, He will strengthen us, and that we will be His people. Complete. Be that complete Christian. Willing to change. Willing to change whatever may be amiss within our hearts. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Ken. Our closing song is number 140. When you find your place, then let's stand. Our Heavenly Father, as we come to the close of this service, I pray that you would prick our minds to a reflection of those things that we have been reminded of, that as we go about the week, that we will make that endeavor to walk that path of life, increasing our efforts and endeavoring to do thy will at all times, and not dwelling upon our past, but rather determining within ourselves to look within thy word and find those things which perhaps we have lacked in doing, and begin to make that effort to do them. Bless those that have been administered to here this day, that they would be given the blessing that they stand in need of. And for those that are sick and afflicted and perhaps unable to even be here, that you would touch them as well. That their lives be filled with that joy of the blessings that are poured out upon them. Go with us, I ask, and I ask these favors in Christ's name, amen.